Sixth Grade Conference, Lecture 5, The Sixth Grader, Part 2. I've described to you the importance of the incorporation of the astral body. And we could say the incorporation of the child's karma, or the individualization of the child's karma. And this is coming, of course, from the furthest realms. As I said, the astral body originally extends all the way to the zodiac. So it's not surprising that in ancient times, and to some extent in present times as well, there is the belief that the stars prefigure our destiny, that by understanding the configuration of the stars, the birth horoscope when a person is born, we can understand something of the course of that person's life and karma. Perhaps today, because there's more potential for freedom, because the ego is involved as well as the astral body, we hope increasingly so in our time, that the birth horoscope will be less determining. Nonetheless, the connection of the stars, the astral body and destiny is strong. We can understand then why astronomy can be taught in grade 6 or no later than grade 7. It really helps the young person look up to that perfect starry world and to realize that is where they come from. The way in which the sixth grader responds to this sea change within their being is complex. And I want to share with you in this lecture and also in talking about the subjects some of the many responses that we might expect, which run the whole gamut, emotional, physical, and especially in their life of relationships with others. When a child is about age 2, when they're really standing on their own feet and can move quite independently of their mother's urgings, this is the time we often speak of as the terrible 2s. And this is the time when the word no is often uttered by this little figure who can really exert a lot of control in the life of the family until everybody makes the right adjustments. Something very similar now happens at age 12. Interesting that it's 2 plus 10. That's the second time the number 2 appears in the child's life. And there is a kind of terrible 2 here as well. Now that the young person is sensing they have a destiny, a karma of their own, independent of their parents, the tendency arises to say no, to reject, little by little, everything, anything that has to do with their parents. This includes their parents' relationship to you. Now, this can take on many humorous qualities, as the children may share with you how their parents worship you, or you know, anything you say about clothing or movies, their parents repeat dutifully, and so on. But it also is there even in the unsaid. It's living strongly within young people, and it can be that from one day to the next, it's as though a 12-and-a-half-year-old awakens in the middle of class to this independent destiny. This karma of self looks at you and thinks or even says words to this effect, who the hell are you? What am I doing in this room? Why am I here? And this will be a time in which a number of students in your class will begin to grumble that you are not their teacher. You're not the teacher that they chose or would choose. They don't want you as their teacher. They don't like the school altogether. They don't like Waldorf education. Now, these comments, which are heard in every sixth grade class, not spoken by everyone, which is not to say they're not felt by everyone. But what will happen then is that teachers who've taught sixth grade before will just sort of explain it away by saying, oh yeah, that's very typical. They all start talking about wanting to go to other schools and that they can't wait to get into public high school and get out of this little cliquish place they're in. But that's just a lot of talk. Don't worry about that. This is very interesting. This is dismissed. And the reality is it's the most important thing that these children are saying. So important that I actually spoke to my parents in fifth grade and gave them a heads up. I warned them that their children were going to start to talk this way in sixth grade. And some of them said, yeah, but they already said that kind of thing in fifth grade. And I said, and I hope that you told them, no, that's not true. Mr. Schwartz is a wonderful teacher, and this is a great school. You supported me. Thank you very, very much. I deeply appreciate it. But you know what? When your young man or woman speaks that way in grade six, particularly in late winter, early spring, towards the end of the year, I want you to take it seriously because it may be true. There's going to be a very big change next year. I'll tell you about the parents' response later on when I speak about working with parents. But nonetheless, I warned them about this, and I told them that it might very well be that by the end of sixth grade, our class will have shrunk. And this might be fine. This might be the right thing. Now, this may be kind of shocking to you. It certainly was to the parents, many of whom by that time had already doled out $50,000, $60,000 or more on tuition to keep their child, as they expected, in a school that went up to 12th grade. And now I was telling them at the halfway point, no, they should go. It's not something easy to digest or take in, but we're not here for the sake of people's income staying good or helping them with their budgets. We're here for the children and to meet their real needs. And it may be right, it may be the best thing for your class to get smaller, to shrink by one third, possibly even two thirds. It can easily be the case that the karma that you have with the parents is not sustainable through seventh and eighth grade. It might not even be sustainable through the middle of sixth grade. Amazing numbers of children leave in the middle of sixth grade as well. And generally, it's the right thing to do. So what do you do about it? Well, what do most schools do about it? What has your school done about it? I don't even know what school you're coming from because, of course, I'm not speaking directly to you. But I can almost guarantee you that over the years, again and again and again, the school has budgeted for a sixth grade and a seventh grade that remain intact. And then the school was surprised at how out of the blue so many children left, usually with financial explanations or a move. Very rarely will parents say that the child was complaining and saying he didn't like the teacher anymore. He even hated the teacher, hated the school. Parents are usually too nice to bring that up. But anyway, when this happens and a whole group of children leave, it's a shock to the board, it's a shock to the business office, it's a shock to your colleagues. What happens? It's your fault. It's the fault of the teacher. And it can sometimes be that when a faculty is informed that one third or more of the sixth grade are not going to be back for seventh grade, that they suddenly start to give the sixth grade teacher the cold shoulder. And that teacher is asked to leave before he or she takes on grade seven. That's why there are so many new teachers in grade 7 and sometimes new teachers in grade 8 in so many schools. It's a big shock. So because it's a shock, because there's no rational explanation for why those children left, the teacher's doing something wrong. It must be the teacher. I am arguing that when that many children leave a class, yes, sometimes it's because the teacher is simply incompetent. Why didn't the faculty figure that one out the 5 years before? But it can also be, it's often, in fact, the case that the teacher was doing such a good job that the children awakened to their karma right on schedule, and their karma happened to be needing another teacher. That can happen. It's not your fault. It's not a shortcoming in your nature. It is simply that one chapter in the child's life has ended and another must begin. Now, that may sound terrible. I'm just telling you, accept the decimation of a class. And as you'll learn when you study Roman history, decimation is not an accurate word here. Decimation only means that 10% of the children would leave. But no, it's much more like a thirtimation. A much larger number may leave. What's going to happen then? Well, what about your salary? What about the school's budget? There's one thing that schools don't do. They don't think of this, even though the sixth grade, seventh grade shrink year after year after year. They are in a total state of denial about it. It's easier to blame the teacher. It's harder to do the right thing, which is to always be recruiting on a sixth and seventh grade level. If children are walking out of your door saying farewell, they're probably walking out of the door of another school or many other schools. There are children leaving public schools. There are children leaving private schools who know that they need something else but don't know what it is. And because Waldorf schools are so good at keeping themselves under wraps, they don't know we exist. So we have to become much more active presences, not only on the kindergarten and grade 1 level, but also on the grade 6 and 7 level. So that, as they say, God shuts one door and he opens another. The open door should be attracting children from other schools. We should be able to fill up the class with the same number of children that we had before the whole group left. Of course, that has its inherent challenges, such as the fact that after 5 or 6 years of receiving a poor education somewhere else, these students may be a bit jaded. They may be soured on the idea of school altogether. They may be kids who've gotten themselves in trouble. That's why their parents are open about them leaving another school. There can be all kinds of issues. There's a whole different level of bonding that you're going to have to affect. And this time, the bonding will not be with the parents. It will be directly with the students. So you have to work in a completely different way. Your psychology of education, your psychology of the way in which you work with the students, all of this is going to have to change radically so that you can now meet this new group. Now, I can tell you that I have brought in a class, one of my classes was 25 students. I've brought in 5 new students in grade 6. I've brought in 3 new students in grade 7. I brought in 2 new students in grade 8. Not easy to do, and always done with trepidation. But I knew how important this was for not only those children, but also for the class. The class also needs an influx of new blood, much in the way that not every human being, way back when, incarnated for the first time at the same time. It took a long, long time, many eons, before every human being had a chance to incarnate. Some came early, some came late. There are children in your class who've had many incarnations. There's a smaller number who've had few, maybe even no incarnations. That's another issue, of course, altogether. But I just mention this to emphasize that students are going to be leaving, and you've got to bring in another group as well. There's no reason that the class cannot stay approximately the same size, though certainly not with the same students. If you are one of these teachers who holds on to your students, sometimes I've heard teachers bullying parents to make them feel guilty about even harboring the thought that they might want to take their child out of the class. Bullying students, just telling them it's nonsense, you belong here, this is your class, no way are you leaving. This gets the teacher stuck as well. If you're only going to be working from the middle of grade 6 through the end of 8th grade with the karma that you already have with the parents, you're not going to be moving forward in your own destiny either. The children are doing you a favor by separating themselves out. Those who have the connection with you personally, those who do not. And I can tell you, interestingly, that the kids that I brought in the upper grades, they are the ones years and years later. Some of them are in their late 30s. Some of them are in their late 20s. Some of them are in their early 20s. Some are in college. These students who came late to the class are the ones with whom I have the deepest connection now, years later. They're the ones who keep writing to me. They're the ones who tell me about their lives, invite me to weddings or whatever. This is so interesting. Even though I only taught them for 2 or 3 or even 1 year, there is my karma directly with that student. Something else that's going to happen here, and I'll speak more about this as well, is that another aspect of this coming of the astral and withdrawing of the etheric is that we are moving in the life of the child and the life of the class, we are recapitulating a very great movement in the history of humanity, which is the movement from the matriarchal goddess society to the patriarchal god society, which is to say that now the fathers begin to get more engaged, more involved with the life of the class, and the mothers start to pull back. As I warned the parents in grade 5, you are going to feel by the middle of 6th grade and certainly in 7th grade, Eugene doesn't like me anymore. I never see him. If I see him on the parking lot, he seems to be running in the other direction. If I run into him in the Whole Foods store, he won't even look at me. I said, it's not going to be true. I will like you just as much. But you are going to be feeling along with your child's experience, that the time may have come to end this connection. But for those who do stay on and for those who come new, now the fathers start to get more interested in what's going on in the classroom. They may want to help with the class play. They may want to help you with a more demanding, more outdoorsy class trip. And by all means, encourage them to do so. It's a new set of issues, bringing more dads along on a class trip than moms. More challenging in many ways, but nonetheless, this is very important. And if you have a high school, it's going to be those dads who will be central in supporting the students in those difficult years of grades 9 through 12. So that's something else that you need to be aware of, the importance, the primacy now of the father's relationship. More to come.